discount.
This is Black Lake.
You're listening to
WGXC Accra,
Hudson, Catskill, New York.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campbell-Riel of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio program, broadcasting live from the bunker at the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Wow, that all fell apart. I was not ready for that. Catskill Makers Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in Catskill, next to the Juice Branch. How is everybody doing tonight? Brian, sound guy, you got everything?
Everything's good.
You seem to be temporarily displaced by about 30 seconds.
What?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Cody, how you doing?
I am also experiencing temporal displacement.
Excellent. That's why there's a slight delay, Tom, how are you?
I am fine.
You might want to get a little closer to that microphone mask on.
Yeah, for real.
Because Tom is properly masked up because COVID season is happening again and it is going around.
I'm fine, really. Don't listen to me, I'm fine.
Well, you're making Ben look real uncomfortable. How you doing, man?
I was doing good. Sorry you came now, aren't you?
And now he's contaminated.
I'm okay.
He's going to take that back to his family and contaminate the entire tribe.
No.
Just don't buy their blankets.
So we've been talking for pre-show about Burning Man. But I will say...
Woo, Burning Man!
Burning Man, in spite of all the bad stuff that's happened... was a good case test for an open source communications project called Meshtastic.
Did it work?
Splendidly. From what I've been hearing. People directly reporting, you know, about their experience with it at Burning Man.
All right, what's Meshtastic?
That was my question.
Meshtastic is a software that runs on little general purpose Internet of Things boards that use a radio...
Little circuit boards
called... And they use a radio protocol called LoRa, which stands for long range.
And they use frequencies that are ISM, right?
Industrial, scientific, and medical. So, in other words, licenseless.
Correct, which means you can use them, anyone can use them, and it's like long range communications, like a ham radio operator, but perfectly legal.
Yeah. And what's interesting about it is that they mesh. So... if your node can't reach the node you're trying to reach, it'll use nodes between devices between that node and the one you wanted to reach.
Okay, well, why do we use cell phones then if we can't use that?
Well, we have there's a limit to how much radio you can use within a given time period. So if you have a bunch of devices all broadcasting at once, they kind of just create a traffic log jam, and nobody's messages get through.
How many people does it take for that kind of jam?
Well, the project artificially limits it to about 100. But it's a rolling list, and I think there were probably more than 100 devices operating at Burning Man this year.
It sounds like a protocol doomed for self-destruction.
No, apparently it worked pretty well.
Yeah, but...
only a few missed
overloaded?
But if next year, instead of 100 people, you have 1,000 people all trying to talk, what happens?
So all those people, we're all operating with the default channel, which is...
One's frequency.
So you have... in the United States, you have 23 megahertz to work with, I think it is. Or is it 28? Something like that.
That is
and
not covered by that ISM band.
Notice, 902... to 923 megahertz.
No, it's not.
It surely is. I know this very well.
That is not a fully open ISM band.
It is. Why are you arguing with me?
Because I
found... I write the damn code.
But I found the researcher said those bands are not open. You're not using those.
You have
those.
A device in your hand that can settle this argument. Actually, a minute.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You could Google it.
Yeah, you could Google it. The ISM band is the same as the amateur radio 33 centimeter band. It's a shared use.
So wait, it's 900 megahertz between that.
Basically, it's 902 to 923, something like that. But anyways, you get that much space, and all these people at Burning Man were using one 250 kilohertz slot in that entire bandwidth. So they could just change the channel.
As far as I'm aware, that's the only amount of bandwidth that's legally permissible for use. In my previous research. That tiny little thin strip.
A 250 kilohertz?
Yeah, that was it. Or maybe...
No, absolutely not. You can change it to any sub-channel within that band allocation. And that defines like a new mesh. So those people, if the default channel suddenly got overloaded, they could just...
Failover?
They could switch all their devices, you know, their group of friends, whoever they want to communicate with, switch to another channel and operate in the same area, the same operational area, without any interference.
Without any stepping on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could... How many bands are available? How many separate...
The separate channels, it depends on which data rate you use, but for... that particular modem setting, there are, I think it was 103 different channels to choose from.
So it's going to be a pretty low... It's text only, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah, it's text only. It's somewhere around maybe a kilobit per second.
Okay.
Yeah, and the max speed is around 7 kilobytes per second on the very fastest modem settings. But, yeah.
Good for texting?
Text.
Yeah, text is fine. You can't do like
shorthand. Shorthand too. You get some good communication through that. Like
so, it was cool for that sort of aspect. You know, everything else around it, aside, mud and suffering.
Trench foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard it was like a living hell.
Actually, I am seeing some basic confirmation that Cody's right, but
okay. That.
I have to go back over my FCC tables because they override this. They say that band does not exist. There's commercial entities that are allowed to broadcast over it.
But is that TV? Is that...
No. Something else. I have to go through my FCC
charts. So a commercial entity can totally use that band and kind of step on your signal as an ISM user. That's why they have the rules in there like this device must accept... interference from blah blah blah.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
It's okay.
Like in the ISM band, you're limited to 1 watt of output. You know, effective radiated output.
So it's mesh, local, and no terrestrial interference.
Depends on your definition of local.
You can see.
You can bounce it off a satellite.
Oh really?
Well, 900. Oh,
what?
You could do LoRa connections to a satellite. It's okay. Possible.
Yeah, if somebody puts up a repeater.
Somebody puts a repeater.
You just need line of sight. You
okay.
don't really need much more than that.
But at 1 watt, you can do that? You'd have to have a good good antenna?
It uses all of the bandwidth to really try to connect.
Okay.
It uses a...
Yeah,
it uses all of that one, you know, that slot to try to connect.
It uses everything it can. And that's why I was alarmed, because that 28 megahertz band, that or 26 megahertz, that's a fat chunk of data right there.
Yeah.
That's not like a tiny amount of like space that's reserved. And that's why I'm like, no way is all of this for ISM. Like, a tiny, tiny sliver is purely dedicated for the ISM, but there's got to be a lot of overlap, like I said, with police frequencies or some weird stuff like that, or satellite frequencies. I will look it up when I go home. I have a big book of FCC crap, because the FCC is like evil, and we have to like treat them like a giant legal entity.
Like a big slug that's trying to gnaw at all our brains simultaneously.
Exactly.
Yep. That's why they limit your speech, and they don't want you to use common language. And they will fine you, and they want to control the ways you communicate with your fellow men.
We own the waves.
No.
That's why we can't speak our minds right now with all the words that we like to use.
Which is why we have the Thingularity After Show. So anybody that wants to tune into that can head on over to WGXE.org, click on Listen. It will bring up a tab with all the streams that are available from WGXE. They got a lot of cool stuff. Scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see Thingularity. That's us. We're playing right now. If you want to keep listening past the top of the hour, that's where you gotta go. And then we go FCC free.
Free ranging, man.
That's right. We let out all the Filipino hookers. Wow. We let them run wild.
Wow.
I can say that all I want.
Those?
Yes.
We don't have those around here.
No, you gotta import them.
Okay.
That's why I got a Quonset hut.
Quonset hut?
Wow. Yes. Yeah, you just pack them in there. Come on, please, someone stop me.
We're just going to let you go on.
Nope, I'm enjoying this. sitting back and watching what's happening.
Why? Because the caffeine's kicking in and I'm turning on and trying to find my place in the world, and it's just not happening. I'm fumbling for it. Hey, welcome to humanity. How's everybody doing? Anybody have any projects or anything they want to like talk about while you got a minute? I'm gonna jump into this weird Pink Floyd stuff. Come on, someone stop me.
What was that thing you put on about the we're running out of
brains?
Laxatives?
Air?
We're running out of laxatives.
That's no project.
We're not running out of laxatives.
The United States is running out of laxatives because people need them to poo.
And Adderall.
That's a different. And Ozempic. We are very drug addicted.
No,
and remember, like, we didn't even have any of these a couple decades ago. These are all new, fun things. We get to learn their impacts.
Like, I don't know how you can run out of laxatives when you can just, like, drink coffee and smoke cigarettes like people did at the old time.
Because once you start taking laxatives, you become addicted to them, and your system's no longer able to process anything without them.
You can also just drink, like, a ton of olive oil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Any
that'll
oil.
That'll make you go.
You can drink mineral oil, olive oil.
No, don't drink mineral oil. That's a petroleum product. That's not good for you.
I'm pretty sure that's.
Or you could.
Mineral oil is sold as like a large quantity laxative.
Like a castor oil.
You can just buy it. It's fine.
But that's like. I would not do that myself. But
mineral
you can
oil,
if you like.
Mineral oil is fine. Just don't put in mineral acid. That's what they put in Marvel Mystery Oil.
Or you could dig up the calico asters in your front yard and then boil the root and drink that. You can do that too. You know,
what is it called? A calico aster?
Yeah, it's the type of aster. I got like about 3 bunches right out there that'll loosen you up.
Or send you to another dimension. Shaman Brian over here doling out the medicine in his yard.
Blood root?
Brian
blood,
medicine.
Blood root's
man.
A type of.
Bloodworm.
Blood root.
Blood root.
Blood root. It's a type of pollen.
Worm root. Worm root.
Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah, the Iroquois use both of those.
Get
way
some
back
absinthe in here. Yeah.
Oh wait, yeah, wormwood. Yeah, we got some
good stuff.
You have some of that?
No, I don't have that. I don't have the absinthe type, but I do have some of the other mugwort.
Artemisia annua.
I got mugwort that's good for dreaming. I've been collecting that.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you can also buy a bunch of weed right on Main Street.
There's that little.
No, that's from a licensed dispensary.
Oh, laxative.
There is a licensed dispensary now.
All you want.
No, I was just lying.
No, he's not.
I was lying. Joe was advocating criminal behavior, and I was.
Oh. Because he made me think there was.
No, that would
be legitimate vendor.
There's no legitimate vendors. The entire marijuana like operation in New York State's been bungled, as we knew they would.
But they've opened at least a couple of dispensaries, right? One or two in the city.
Yep, and they're all being like
about 100
sued
illegal
and harassed. Yeah, it's not really working out.
Syracuse has a bunch of illegal ones. Do they have one a legal one yet?
Well, they're legal, but then they got people from other states that are suing because they think that they're being discriminated against because they're not having the opportunities to have these businesses.
Yes, corporations from other states are suing because New York State wanted to give opportunities to
New York corporations.
No, to black folk who've been arrested over the last two or three decades under Rockefeller laws.
That have also been able to run a business for 2 years.
But then out-of-state corporations are trying to keep that from happening, calling that unconstitutional or some kind of
it's
interstate commerce.
The only words to describe it are not FCC approved, okay? it's a joke, and the black market in New York State is thriving. So anybody out there growing their own, they're at a distinct advantage.
Yeah, because this is a jungle state where it just...
Mm-hmm. There's a thriving market that's been primed with the promise of legal dispensaries and was choked by legal bureaucracy. No dispensaries are
big
around here.
Big surprise.
Wait, Albany
really?
Bungled there?
Yeah. I told you all, don't legalize it. It's the worst thing you could have done. Idiots. They're not even capable of making money off of one of the most profitable... objects in the country. It's one of the only things this country actually produces. We don't make cars worth a damn. We can't make a TV, but we will grow you a ton of weed, no problem. And then we will deny it and hate ourselves for it. Welcome to E-Man.
Good rant.
We're only like 17 minutes in, folks.
Oh. That's a good rant.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't even have that plan.
I have a question for Tom. So, I looked at, when I was on vacation, we signed up for like this stargazing thing, and then they sighted in a planetary nebula, and it was incredibly difficult to see. Like, how did anybody ever find a planetary nebula? It almost looked like a splotch on like a telescope. Like, there was crap on it.
Planetary nebula? I don't...
So, are you talking about, like, the
like a planet?
It's a nebula
that births planets.
So, are you talking about, around a star, the protoplanetary sort of disk, the nebula around the star?
No.
Or are you talking about a star
like
forming nebula? Because
or
it's
a planet
like,
forming nebula.
No, they use the term planet loosely just to say it reminded some astronomer 300 years ago of a planet.
Okay.
But it isn't that at all. But it is like an odd thing. There are a lot of inexplicably odd things going on. The more you look, the less consistent things happen to be. Now, you got to start out with looking at the Milky Way, because we're up close to it, right? But how do you look at something you're inside of? It's sort of like what you were talking about with the music in your dreams. How do you look at your own brain? It's a problem, because you're trying to figure out how
camera.
We think by thinking.
Yeah.
So if you see something that looks like a splotchy planetary system, it's inside the Milky Way. It's just something nearby that is an odd shape. Mm. And that's what was confusing you, the word planetary.
They find it because all that data is stored in large catalogs, and it
takes people
or computers a long time to just pour over it until they go, what's that?
But they usually visually spot those, or do they find them in some other way?
Oh, yeah, they visit them first.
No. Visually. Visually. Like, they visually scan the sky for those.
There
or
might be
using
an
like
algorithm
a radio
that
telescope.
Points out, like, this group has an anomaly. You might want to look at it.
I mean, if you just look up, there's very few... things that of that category that you can see with your naked eye.
You can't see planetary nebula with your naked eye.
No.
No.
You need a Hubble or something.
Usually like a refract.
But if you...
Oh.
Like, let's see here. What's coming up?
refractory.
Now, I think
Andromeda, you can see.
There's one in particular you can. There's a nebula in particular you can see with your naked eye. I think it's coming up this fall. It's Orion, right? Orion comes out in the fall.
Yeah.
Comes above the horizon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and if you look.
Yeah, one of the.
If you look at the constellation Orion, and you look below his belt, you can see the I believe the Pleiades, right?
You can see a lot more than that.
Okay.
Seven sisters.
Yeah, the seven sisters, and it's a very active sort of nebula with, you know,
star formation.
Stellar nursery. Star formation and very young stars. And it's easy enough to see the splotchiness around them with your naked eye. As long as you're not looking directly at it because of the arrangement of the cones and rods in your eyes for some reason. I don't know the exact reason, but I know that I can see it better if I don't look directly at it.
You're basically because your eyes always got so much light focused on that one specific spot where you're always looking, it's kind of worn out. All the other spots that you're not looking at can perceive the light better. Then what is it?
Your eyes don't wear out.
There's an actual...
No, that's like you. That's the permanent focus since you're born.
What Evas was telling me that when he was fixing computers and he was running some diagnostics, someone stopped it. Said, you're wearing out the accumulator. No, your eyes don't wear out. They replenish themselves. And inside your brain, you're in trouble.
There's actually an arrangement of receptors in your retina.
Yeah,
and
your peripheral vision is very different than your phobia. Mm.
Yeah. So with your peripherals, you can actually see more fine grain changes in light than you would be able to if you were looking directly at something. Mm. So it's something you learn when you do amateur astronomy that you don't look directly at the object you're trying to
see.
You
have to look
around and
you have to learn to focus on where you're looking.
But this is sort of related to the notion of how do you look at your own brain?
Yeah.
You know, how do you look at, how do you learn how to look? Well, you have the experience of visual alert looking, but when you close your eyes, you continue to see things. You know, what's going on? I mean, you're talking about hearing music, but can they put you in an MRI and watch the pictures?
And watch me hear music?
Well, he's got the music, right? That's someone was listening to Pink Floyd.
That's
right. There's a brain scan from a brain.
Yeah.
We have that.
Yeah.
That's correct.
What
Albany Med was actually the place that...
What?
That's part of one of the reasons
Wow. It's that close? I want to go.
I want to hear the music of my brain.
Yes, I do.
Well, it's really
music
not very close.
Can be reconstructed from human auditory cortex activity using nonlinear decoding models.
Hang on. Before we spoil it, why don't we play the reconstructed music for our listening audience?
Here it is. Sounds like a theremin organ.
Yeah, it does.
That's just a data sonification of the brain waves. Like that could be random. Like you're just turning the brain waves into some other waveform.
I listened to this before even reading this article that Joe's going to read, and I'll tell you what, I did not pin it for being either from the band that they said they had people listen to or the song that they had people listen to.
I don't know what song it was. What?
The accuracy of the reconstruction, I don't know. To me, it's questionable. I haven't listened to all the other things that they might have produced. So, go on, Joe. Read us more of the article.
Okay, 29 participants with pharmacoresistant epilepsy.
Whoa.
Okay, so drug-resistant epilepsy participated in the study. 15 females. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. All had intracranial grids or strips of electrodes surgically implanted to localize their epileptic foci.
Oh.
The electrode location was solely guided by clinical concern. Recordings took place at the Albany Medical Center. All patients had self-declared normal hearing. Patients passively listened to the song, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1 by Pink Floyd. They were instructed to listen attentively to the music without focusing on any special detail. The auditory stimulus was digitized at 44 kilohertz and delivered through in-ear monitor headphones at a comfortable sound level. 8 patients had more than one recording of the present task, in which cases we selected the cleanest one. All right, so that's probably the one I displayed, or not. But direct cortical recordings were obtained through grids or strips of platinum-iridium electrodes with center-to-center distances of 10 millimeters for 21 patients. So basically, they just recorded all the data using strips of electrodes directly on their brain, put it through a preprocessor.
Was it on their brain? It was through the electrodes. Or was it on their...
Intracranial. These are all epilepsy patients, and they were probably looking for other things.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And they happened to figure out, well, guess what? You can hear music, and we can record that data, and it sounds like music.
While we're at it, let's have them like do this. Sounds like a this. Yeah. Those people have their craniums opened, though?
Yeah.
They told them to listen intently.
Yeah.
So they were conscious with their brains open.
Oh, that's very common.
I think the things might be in there.
Yeah,
your brain doesn't feel pain, so you can do anything you want to while you're awake.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Were they permanently installed and then they were connected to the outside?
Not permanent.
Those old ape experiments? No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know the level of which they left them in there.
Yeah, we're not.
Because I know, like, sometimes they have those in somebody who has epilepsy, like, in their brain.
Oh, really?
And they kind of get tased, and it brings them back.
Yeah, you give some kind of hit to it.
Yeah.
All right, so...
an electrical hit.
Yeah, what you need to do is you play Pink Floyd through the nichrome wires, and the epileptic stops seizing.
Burn them to death.
It's just and the electrodes cauterize into their brain.
You just see a doctor sitting there with a DJ set up, and he just presses play, and this patient just starts shaking.
It's the other way around.
Does it to the baseline?
It's very the other way around. It's shaking is going on. They play the music, and the patient is cured.
That actually sounds like a good experiment that you'd play with, but
the data was run through a processor decoder, so they did have to, like, put a bunch of math to go, well, this is the song, and this is the vocal. And, okay. So all they got to do is basically work on it and to clear it up.
I'm not convinced.
Give them time.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are nothing but just...
Give it time, give it technology.
It'll be just like putting an inductor next to a telephone back in the day to tap it. No one would ever know you tapped the phone. But we could take all the data going back and forth through it.
That's certainly a fantasy.
No, it's being done right now. We can read your thoughts with EEGs. Or
electroencephalograms. I mean, then you have, like, people ECGs. Playing video games or controlling arms and robots with brainwaves and certain things.
Yeah, but we can also have a person recite their password in their mind and we can read it.
Or read something.
No, read the password.
With the pipe wrench.
We're gonna knock that skull up. Listen, you're gonna tell us this password, are you? We're gonna do this one of two ways. Hey, there's the easy way, and then there's the hard way.
It's still the more effective way, isn't it? Torture and social engineering still are our most.
No, because torture renders data that is inaccurate.
Yeah,
if we could scan someone's brain, you can't lie. You can't torture lie your way out of it. We will just extract your childhood memories. Okay, we can't do that yet. We can only actively see what you are actively thinking of. So if you can keep yourself from thinking of your password, the CIA can't extract it.
Mm.
I will look up these articles for the next show.
I'd just be like repeating in my own head, like, administrator.
Yeah.
Root.
Password,
root,
password, password,
root,
password.
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 Pi.
Raspberry. Pi. Raspberry.
Oh, God. Yeah, but those are actual names and passwords for something.
Default,
That might actually trigger to them, like, well, they're recalling an actual name and password. Pi. Raspberry. Pi. Raspberry. Not my social security number. Not my... Don't think of your social. Don't think of your social. 1-1. Check, check, check.
You can't not think of it.
You can't.
You can't not think
of it. Not without training.
That's correct. I mean, I bet like a CIA agent could probably avoid having their brain scanned for a password. Currently.
The idea that some guy's just going to sit across the street and scan your brain is ridiculous.
No.
I'm going with that one, too.
No. You have to be plugged into the machine.
They
have to shove you into the MRI.
If they've got you, then they're already violating so many laws. They might as well just beat you with the wrench.
But beating a person with a wrench gives them the option to lie to you.
Yeah.
This removes their ability to lie.
He's saying, like, just fuzz the brain with some kind of MRI.
MRI. Well, that's a funny grouping of letters. Just like WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. You are. You have been hit with our station ID, and it came out of nowhere.
No, it came out of. It came out of Tom because.
Well,
he's
Tom's
off,
our
he's
time.
On it.
Tom is our chronographer. He is our timekeeper, and he's on it.
As much as his watch annoys us.
And my phone.
He's a good timekeeper.
Just made my watch buzz and tell me that a severe thunderstorm warning has just been issued for Columbia, Dutchess, and Greene County, and that is right now
funnel
at 7:30.
Funnel clouds this time. Not funnel clouds this time.
Listen, yeah. Listen. The National Weather Service is a bunch of clowns, okay? I had to ask them, like, last time. Like, I'm in their DMs, and I have to ask people, was there a funnel cloud last night? And then they have to take, like, a day to figure it out. They are losing their place in the world.
I know. Just randos with cell phones show us the funnel clouds.
Yeah. But... No, funnel clouds is one thing, but an actual confirmed touchdown tornado is something I would like the National Weather Service to be able to confirm for me, you know. Just like systems are going down, and most of their communication systems these days are people just going, well, what do? The system's down. How do I handle this? Oh, great.
Blaming the National Weather Service as a whole is probably not the best thing. Their administration that makes the decisions, like moving to Slack, that though.
Well, the administration controls everything.
Well,
they control all aspects.
They don't control you, and you're in the chat.
I'm in the chat, but I'm not a member of the National Weather Service.
No?
I don't count myself amongst those idiots.
Deep state, man.
And I can't log into their data system because they just activated two-factor authentication. So if there's a storm coming that might kill someone, I can't tell you right now because of their technological decisions.
Deep state.
Well, I mean, two-a-fay isn't a bad thing.
Two-a-fay is a horrible thing. Would you like to discuss?
Why?
When it works, it's good.
Well, number one, you're assuming that the person accessing your system can't handle their own passwords or their own security. So the person...
That's been proven.
Okay, well, then they shouldn't be accessing the system. Two-FA just means that you're forcing them to do business with a third party. You are bringing a whole extra company into this scenario.
That's not true.
Okay.
The 2FA that I do for GitHub is all in my control. I have a program, a command line program where I take a little string of text from GitHub, I put it into a database, and it generates time-based one-time passwords for logging in.
Well, that's awesome.
That's
but
cool.
Let me tell you
it is
that
awesome.
All of my banks, the National Weather Service, and several other places all require a phone number. They require you to do business with a phone company.
Which isn't even secure in the first place.
I know.
Well, that's
so
that's
oh my
so
God.
Stupid.
Correct. That's the essence of my complaint. You're exposing my data to a whole bunch of people that could take advantage of me for that. There's no reason. Give me a name and password and make me responsible. Oh, no. If I lose it and I screw up, punish me for it. Don't
you make a new account. Whatever.
There you go.
Go through the whole rigmarole of getting back into the system.
That's right. But instead of that, they want to know my phone number. I was either forced to give them my phone number or to allow a program onto my phone that would compromise my security.
What program was it?
There were several different versions of an authentication program.
Was it? TOTP is it? Was it one-time passwords?
Google Authenticate. No, like actual apps for managing the authentication process.
So the Google.
There's a couple different ones.
There's some open-source time-based one-time password things that you can get for Android, and I don't know. Maybe.
No. It had to be an approved app, and like I said, these are security apps that make sure your phone isn't rooted and certain
things
like that.
What a load of it.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Uh huh.
If GitHub can do it right,
thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me, Cody. I'm glad we're on the same page.
On this, we can agree. But we can agree that it can be done well.
You just made me appreciate GitHub a lot more.
Okay.
That's awesome. I'm glad two-factor authentication options like that exist. And you know what that makes me? Furious with the people that don't employ it. Now I'm even more angry at them.
Like, they could just use a YubiKey.
Yubi. Are they going to send you a Yubi key?
You got to roll that out to 1,000 people.
How much are those things? How much do those
I don't
cost?
Know, like 50 bucks or something like that?
Yeah, they're
like 10,
okay.
20 bucks.
Yeah.
But
you know
yeah,
what?
10,000 people.
You know what? The last system cost me nothing to access. Cost me nothing whatsoever. I could access it on any device because it was an open protocol. XMPP. Devices 30 years old could still access their system if need be. Securely with a name and password. Now, the amount of devices allowed to access the system are severely limited. Yeah, they have to be kept updated, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're secure. I can hack the crap out of my phone and still access these things.
But at least
I can root my phone without them even knowing it.
At least now you have the stability and the great features of Slack.
Could you name one?
They lost functionality.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I hate that platform.
We went from having an awesome dashboard containing an active map showing everybody's reports like instantly down to the second. Like here's what's happening. It was situational awareness in a very professional and clean way. Now,
data's lost.
It's like you're trying to find a cousin on Facebook instead of reading a weather report. It's just a pile of data that's just...
unsorted.
They're constantly posting daily reports that is easily accessible on a public website. The entire chat is cluttered with nonsense. If you actually ask someone a question, nobody ever responds. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
Wow.
But now I'm able to harass people in Florida. I can get right into their chat rooms and go, hey, what are you guys doing? Has the storm killed anybody yet? We weren't able to do that before. We were isolated. Like, Albany was its own Albany area. Philadelphia was its own Philadelphia.
But you could still see the map, their reports on the map?
I could see...
the big dashboard? No.
You can't do...
Yes.
Oh, you could.
It was a national it was a national map, so everybody's report went up.
Well, that's actually nice, because then their chats won't get cluttered with your stuff, or Albany stuff, or Western New York stuff.
Oh, no. Our chats never got cluttered.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The
you
map
can
was
see what's going on nationally.
It was very clean.
But
it was
no crosstalk. It's fine.
Unless you actively wanted to get into somebody else's
right.
league. Like, once in a while, I would go peek at Pennsylvania, because I have friends down there. I go, you got a tornado rolling through? I got some friends, I'll tell. But that was private. I was allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't announcing for Philadelphia.
Right.
So my friends get a slight edge on not dying, I guess. But only a slight one. I mean, if anybody's in danger, I'm going to obviously just send in a report to the station, do a quick little blurb. Hopefully Tom catches it and just plays it for everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, it was not too long ago that bad storms that came through and, like, flooded Brian's basement. Like, that's when we started seeing the funnel clouds.
Yeah.
That was kind of helpful because
in
I could
Ankrum.
See the clouds coming through.
Yeah, in Ankrum, right next to you.
Right next to me.
Yeah,
that's right. You guys got it.
But, I mean...
you know what? And they've worked with Slack for a year or just over a year. And they did not... they somehow failed to achieve feature parity with XMPP. Which is ridiculous.
I don't get it.
That's ridiculous.
Now, let me just be...
Deep state.
Honest, like, the map and the dashboard, that wasn't XMPP. You could access that system directly and cleanly with XMPP on any device.
Sure.
But the preferred method is just go to a web browser, log in, get your map, get your all the people in the chat room with you listed in its own little window. It was a good dashboard. I was impressed by it. I'm not impressed by software. If you couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the move to Slack, and now it's just a lot of complaints. It's commercializing. They're trying to make weather suck so that you are being forced to pay for it instead.
Make weather
even
suck.
Though your tax money, all of you, are paying taxes to these people so that they can protect you from the weather, and they're not doing it to the best of their ability, in my opinion.
Well, that's just your opinion.
That's correct, which is why I will be data scraping the hell out of the internet to make sure my listeners get as good of situational awareness as I can provide.
Occasionally getting banned from APIs and all that good stuff.
From scraping.
Occasionally, but I've gotten way better. If anybody looks for my Telegram channel, The Better Weather, t.me/TheBetterWeather, you will get a ton of charts, ton of extra data about Columbia and Greene County. You might also see my NOAA channel, which I post regular satellite images and satellite data. It's pretty cool, not relevant to a lot of people, but I'm sure weather forecasters and certain people would love it, because my systems every morning download a ton of data from the NOAA servers and then stitch them into movies that they don't do for you. That's the only thing I do. I just do a whole bunch of FFmpeg stitching.
You just create GIFs.
MPEGs. No, MP4s.
Well, it looks like a GIF, but because it's like, you know, frame by frame. It's not literally a movie, but it's cool.
The difference is encoded. It would be GIFs, except GIFs are more than 10 times the size.
Exactly.
They're a lot smaller if I turn it into an actual little movie.
That's crazy. Then,
you know what? They deserve to be called GIFs.
GIFs?
For how bad they are.
They should be, but GIF was the given name by its creator.
Yep.
No, I thought it was
CompuServe?
GIF. No, it's definitely GIF.
It's GIF.
Is it GIF?
It was the same as JPEGs. That's why it's annoying.
I don't know.
Because there's no difference in the alliteration.
Graphic in something format?
No, and the creator's like, no, it's a GIF.
Oh.
And we're like, no, they're GIFs, because JPEGs are JPEGs.
Hey, man, if the internet says GIF, then the creator's wrong.
Exactly. The people came up with the name.
What does Merriam-Webster say?
The internet has spoken.
The internet has spoken.
Well, why didn't you just spell it with a J, then?
Because exactly. The first word means G. Graphic.
Because he doesn't like you.
So he's going down that one.
He just
hates you, man. They are actually WebM's. Because those are better.
WebM?
Yeah. WebM.
Video.
Web movies.
Isn't that a Microsoft format?
No. It's an open standard, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know. It's like one of those open internet standards. Nowadays.
I don't.
From HTML5 and whatnot.
I guess one of us is going to have to look that
Somebody's
up.
Gonna
it's not that important.
It's not that important.
No, I think web. There's a reason I avoid them, like the plague. I think they
don't play on every browser.
I think it's just a container. Kind of like MKV, Matroska, video format. It'll just contain whatever codecs you throw into it.
Yeah, but then why do MKVs not play or stream on Telegram until I rename them .mp4?
Because Telegram handles them kind of stupid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. But they might not be able to decode the container.
Yeah. Or not even recognize.
So you could use the same exact encoding that you use for that MP4.
Okay.
And, yeah.
WebM is an open protocol. I think I just don't use it because it's not entirely widely supported. Only reason. I don't care what my formats are.
That's what I get from YouTube DL. Most of the time, it's a WebM.
Yes. 90% of the time, it's that, and I can't post that directly on Telegram for streaming, so I just FFmpeg it over to an MP4.
Hmm.
Like, just FFmpeg-I, the file, and then...
I'm going to try that tonight.
Stuff.mp4.
See if I can prove you wrong.
What? Try to post it direct?
just trying to get a streamable WebM.
Do it. You'll save me a bunch of steps.
Cool. I'll be happy to do that for you.
I literally do not care what the format is, as long as, like I said,
it's
stream.
It's easy.
But remember, if it streams on a desktop
it might be
Telegram,
it might
not work for an iPhone or an Android
because
phone.
The desktop is a browser, and browsers are not... have different standards all across the board.
I tried to do, I did a handbrake encoding of a bunch of stuff, and they will work fine on Telegram. If you use the handbrake CLI, they have a tendency to not be streamable because they do something to the video stream that messes it up. Using the same file, I do the video in handbrake, and then I save the settings file. And then, okay, we just had a blink out right here.
Yeah.
So if anybody starts losing power, we go out. I hope everybody knows. We might be able to be found on
the
stream or not. No.
We're fine.
I think we're fine.
Yeah, okay. I'm picking up my phone, and I'm looking at my actual weather data, not the National Weather Service.
The lightning is...
Yeah, we're good.
We'll be okay.
That's great.
I know there was a big... big trough heading our way. So I think the initial stuff went overhead. We got lightning flashes in Coymans. Kingston is lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Are there any funnel clouds?
Weird pronunciations. That's Queemans.
Queemans. Is it Queemans?
Yeah, it's Queemans.
I always say
no.
Coymans.
I
I'm tempted
which is
to say
totally
it,
nonsense.
Right? I'm tempted to say something inappropriate.
We pronounce it queefments. Queefments. It, you have to pronounce. It's like it's a Dutch thing. It's a local thing.
It's local flavor. You're not Dutch saying things. It right. If you're, that's how you show you're a tourist, you know.
No, my friend Billy Vanderkook said that. Yeah, it's queefments. That's how the Patroons pronounced it.
You sound like a kook.
I don't know you people. I don't know.
Are we getting some funnel clouds? That's what I want to know.
No.
Yeah, I doubt it. I want funnel clouds.
Wow. Hold on. I got. No. I got base velocity listed here. That's another thing. The National Weather Service, they literally say when you sign up for it that there's a whole bunch of people that are not allowed to access it, including storm chasers.
Wow.
Because
they're the red-headed stepchildren of weather.
Because accessing this, you would know where the funnel clouds are touching. You would have an edge that everybody else wouldn't have. And
well, how do they really stop you?
You can't just be a storm chaser. You have to actually be like a weather person for... You have to have... A 24-hour real-time media. You can't be on Twitter with a billion followers. They literally say that does not count.
You have to be
in real-time media. So like if you broadcast like those people that are on the internet, unless they're actually National Weather Service members, they're not allowed to have access to the system. That one guy whose name I won't recommend, he's a storm chaser in his off time.
Yeah, but he's also does.
Yeah, but he's and he's also in the National Weather Service system.
Yeah,
so he's kind of violating it, but he's allowed to because he's an actual weather person.
Because he's an actual meteorologist.
Yeah, if I went out and we wanted to go do storm chasing, they couldn't stop us because I work
for real time.
I don't work for WGXE. I broadcast for WGXE.
There you go. It's the same thing. I'm the weatherman.
No
for an
funnel
FM
clouds.
Radio station.
Base velocity is not showing any sort of tornadic signatures.
But there's a lot of discharge.
Is Lee going to be our last big storm of the season? Or are we going to get a surprise like October 30th?
Week? Lee doesn't count. First of all, Lee...
It's big.
So what? It's sitting over water. Yeah. It's going to annoy fish. Who cares? It's like, okay, I don't count it as a storm if it doesn't hit land. Like, okay, it's out there.
It's sucking water off the island so badly that people could drown. It's true. There's a riptide.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Is that?
What are you talking about?
When it hits Category 4 and it's north
in a day or two, it's
Puerto Rico and...
Yeah, but these are predictions. Like, this storm has yet to grace the land any human occupies, right?
I'm not saying that it's on the land. I'm just saying that the riptide it creates is dangerous. That's true for the East Coast in general.
Oh, yeah. If you're, like... But it's not...
It's not going to land.
It's not a riptide. It's okay. First of all, it's called a rip current. There's no such thing as a rip.
You got me there.
It's a rip current.
But what you're talking about is when the water disappears.
Yes.
Just goes out. That's not a rip current. That is
storm.
A warning. That is water's gonna whatever's going out.
It's gonna come back.
And that's exactly right. That's devastating.
What's the time like for
not
that?
For a clam.
Time lag? Like,
what's the time lag?
It could be anywhere from like.
Oh, you mean when the.
Minutes?
Yeah.
To like maybe an hour.
Oh.
There could be.
It's not going to be a whole day.
Oh, I see.
The water's going to go out.
It's a wave going out, wave coming
right.
in.
Right?
But it can only go out so far for so long, and then it stops.
Mm-hmm.
And the suction disappears, and then everything comes crashing back in.
Well, and, Lee is going to do at least that much.
And. Tom's describing tsunamis.
Tsunamis,
right.
Or
like
yeah.
in Japan, that's what happens
yeah.
when, like
that's
there
what
was
it reminds
a, like,
me of.
Yeah.
You're talking about on a less severe sort of a scale.
Well, and I'm trying to think,
well,
who is this going to happen to if Lee is like 200 miles offshore?
Yeah, it's got to be closer to get a storm surge that goes up 5, 10, whatever feet, 20 feet,
and that's going to take a week. So in a week, we're going to have a good idea if Lee's going to be a problem or not. Right now. Everybody's like, holy crap, look at National Weather Service's numbers. They've never gone this high so fast. Well, okay. And so far they're being accurate. That storm is picking up like crazy. The sea surface temperature is above 27 degrees. There is no wind shear. It's basically
feeding it.
Magic ingredients for a hurricane.
For rapid intensification of heat.
Nah. Basically, hurricanes are just hot water, calm air, forming thunderstorms, and the thunderstorms just all shake hands. When they do, hurricane.
Well, I'm just going to take a Sharpie and draw a circle around Cape Hatteras.
And thus overriding all of nature's whim.
I think that was my favorite.
I see
thing.
Man's here.
Yeah, the Sharpie.
Yeah, but.
That was my favorite.
Wouldn't you do the opposite? Like, you see this big thing going to crash into Florida, and then you would just Sharpie, like, cross it out, like, nah, that ain't gonna happen. We're gonna be fine.
Yeah, you could do that with nuclear weapons, I think.
Well, yes, absolutely. You will dissipate a hurricane with a nuclear bomb. Of course.
What would happen?
I would like to say
you turn it you turn the hurricane nuclear radioactive.
That'd be great, except for the fallout.
It's
but it'd be great to see what it would do.
It's still a giant spinning cyclonic storm, but now it's dropping fallout. That's the only freaking difference.
Not with like a super megaton explosion on that. What would it do? Like, would it shake it up and still make
it snurple? Wait a minute. You know?
Would it make it bigger from
no,
the
no,
heat?
No. Think heat? About it. Wind shear will destroy a hurricane. It will cut it to pieces. No matter if all the other factors are happily in line for a hurricane, wind shear comes along and cuts its head right off.
Yeah.
If you dropped a nuke at the right altitude, you're going to generate a lot of wind shear.
Yeah, the right direction.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it,
we should do it. And we should blow up the moon.
Well, that's how you find out what's inside the moon.
Yeah, whether or not it's really made of cheese.
I'm thinking a thermobaric bomb dropped about 250 hectopascals in range would
do
it.
I don't think that'd be really big enough, though.
You don't have to disrupt it a lot.
Really?
You just got to really mix up that upper atmosphere.
A couple of fuel air bombs.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's.
Well, with a fuel air bomb, I mean.
Yeah, it's going to poison the fallout.
What's it going to do? It's like sinking a ship. It's maybe less damage than sinking a ship in the ocean.
Exactly. Because it'll blow up whatever that...
Like, you know how much oil gets into the water when a ship goes down?
Yeah, a fuel air bomb is almost a perfect combustion.
All right, I advocate for bombing hurricanes.
Let's
now.
Do it. Fuel air bombs. We should try this.
It'll certainly justify the United States military budget.
Holy crap.
It's very outsized.
Stopping a storm? Imagine you stopping a storm with a couple fuel air bombs. Let's do it.
From what I've learned of hurricanes, I think that might actually be possible now. Now that I'm...
Somebody's got to crunch the numbers on this.
No, I'm in Dunning-Kruger territory right now. Like, I know enough to really monkey things up.
You know what? We should do this.
No. The person that originally suggested that was an idiot that suggested it out of complete nothing. Just said, hey, he just wanted to nuke something. I'm thinking, maybe. And I guarantee you Florida's going to be all on board for this.
This is a case of a broken clock, and it's right twice a day.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just like a blind mouse still finds a cheese once in a while.
Yeah.
Once a day if you have a superior clock. Using the superior time system.
Say what? Is this an actual time system, or are you saying...
It's 24 hours. It's the superior time system.
This is true.
It is more accurate, and it requires less...
thinking.
Less writing. You don't have to write PM or AM.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just hours. I love military time. I love... If it was up to me, everything would be UTC. All the time. Mm. Just military time, UTC.
UTC?
Zulu. Universal time.
24.
So right now you would want it to be you would want it to be 0 hour right now, or just about.
How about wait a minute. How about sidereal time?
Sidereal, what's that?
Well, that's connected to the latitude. So everyone has a unique clock to the minute, to the second, to the
You mean like when the sun is overhead, it is noon.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's right. Sidereal time.
Yes, and that's how trains start running into each other.
Oh, we have smart trains now.
Really?
Remember, I told you how time zones were formed.
Yeah.
Because
trains in Europe kept hitting each other.
In the States.
Because we have much bigger. Yeah.
Well, my telescope works on sidereal time. If it didn't have that, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work, because right. That's real time.
Yeah.
If expect a human to deal with real time and the whole world falls.
You have to know where your telescope is in order to know what time it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, not even theoretically, you would then be able to know your time based on your location. So your phone's GPS could be like, well, your time is this now. And as you moved... As you chase the sun west, you could basically
keep time still.
Yeah.
Right. Someone tried that with a plane up near North Pole. Yeah, just freeze time, and I don't know.
It works for a day.
Yeah.
And then you lap the international dateline. Sure. And, I mean, they were still aging in the plane.
They were still aging? No.
What do you mean?
Not.
That, like, Superman, that wouldn't work?
Right, Joe? Joe?
What?
You run to keep up with the sun, but it's sinking?
Oh, that's what
you're
dreaming.
Correct. That would, but that's also like...
I brought this all the way back around to the brain thing and Pink Floyd. You're welcome.
I have Pink Floyd on the brain.
All in all, you're just another brick on the wall. All right, folks, we're kind of winding down, but we're only winding down the FCC-approved segment of the show. We will be going into after-hours territory. All the illicit drugs get broken out.
No, that one happens.
Okay, not for all of us. But at 8 o'clock, if you want to keep listening, WGXE.org is the place to be. And who am I kidding? You people aren't listening to us right now in real time. Nobody does that. You're going to download the podcast tomorrow.
You're listening in the year 2035.
No, I hope not.
After the decade of the burning and the flooding.
If you're listening to this to us then, I hope everything we've said today is incredibly stupid and you've made huge advances since then.
You're in the discovery portion of the lawsuit now.
Also known as the find out portion.
Whatever you said will be played back.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's also what they say about the National Weather Service. Everything you post is permanently listed here. So be professional.
They never. Except everything that was on XMPP.
Was it all
that's
deleted?
All gone.
Is all old stuff deleted?
That's all gone? No,
it's
all gone.
They didn't push the database forward?
It's a real-time situational awareness thing. There's no data cap.
Okay,
even Slack, they're like, we keep it for like 2 weeks or something.
Okay.
And I'm like, but you have, like, infinite storage. This could be, like, a climate research thing if you really want.
It's a lot of good data.
Let's not make the data worth accessible and worth something or useful. Nah.
We already know everything we need to know about weather.
Yeah. Ah, folks, you've been listening to the Thingularity Radio program on WGXE 90.7 FM. Not sure why I said that. We don't need to do another station ID, but I'm filling time. Yeah, really. We're just running out the clock.
There's
as soon as it does, we're going
to
relax a little bit more.
What? More stuff you can talk about.
We're going to talk
on your list.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about the fun stuff, you know, with swearing soon. Because that's how humans talk.
that's how humans talk.
Don't believe me? Would you? I could easily point you to several of our last world leaders that would speak in public.
Ooh, I just saw a flash of lightning right outside the window.
It's called vivid lightning.
Count it down.
Why is it vivid?
I heard that on the WAMC weather report.
Vivid?
We don't talk about WAMC.
It described the lightning. We're having vivid lightning.
Wait, what?
We may not have tornadoes, but we're having
vivid lightning.
Vivid.
I don't understand.
I don't know why.
Is it visible?
No,
colorful?
Vivid means sharply defined.
Okay.
Got it.
It's another word than visible.
Okay.
You can have vivid things that are invisible.
That lightning was like 3 miles away.
I didn't hear anything.
It just thundered.
Okay.
That's what you do. You count it down,
divide
by seven.
Speed of light.
Yeah, I learned that on that documentary, Poltergeist.
Documentary.
He was getting scared, and then the tree attacked him. Trees attack you in lightning storms. That's something else I learned, too.
And kitchen furniture likes to arrange itself, too.
You and Rudy...
Oh, that lightning strike was north of Cairo.
What?
What? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Willis?
There was no lightning strike in Catskill. That light traveled
all
the way from...
All the way north of... That's that direction. That was on
side of the window.
So I'm thinking it was on
the opposite
side
of
the window. Columbia County. Probably somewhere near Germantown, actually.
Major discharges.
Major discharge of...
You are correct, sir.
Huh?
Not Germantown, but a little south, like Claremont.
Claremont.
There you go.
Livingston.
Oh, you go. See? I know what I'm talking about.
Right now, like crazy, right now, by the second.
There goes again.
They always get hit over there. Why is that? Is that just that they always... On
that's
the
this one,
shield.
And then another one, and then another one. You're seeing them there, I'm seeing them here.
Kingston, I thought, we thought got thumped a